Romans 10. And it says there, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Then jumping down to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And that's where I would like us to conclude our reading, as we have been doing a reading in the book on Peter. We were supposed to have read the section Peter the Preacher. And in this book, I think it gives you apt reason to believe why our nation is in such straits as it is, and why we have such violence and hatred, and how many people are so ignorant of the gospel. The gospel is the only answer to what is going to fix the problem in America. It isn't Mr. Trump, and it isn't Mrs. Clinton. It is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer to the nation's problem. And so Peter, we are told, was a master preacher, as we study in the book. And I want to talk about, in this time, what is a preacher, or who is a preacher, the centrality of preaching, and the missing elements of biblical preaching today. For that's what the book is all about. And I think that Edward Donnelly has hit it on the head, and that there are certain key elements that preachers today do not speak about. And they need to. And they need to proclaim it from the housetop. And so I want us to think about who is a preacher and what is a preacher. Now, the word preacher is found 7 times in the Old Testament, and it's all in one book, so you should remember this. It is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. The author of the book of Ecclesiastes calls himself the preacher 7 times. Here we find Paul mentions the word preacher in Romans 10, and then we find it 2 other times, and it's in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, where Paul is speaking about himself being appointed to be a preacher. And then Peter mentions it 1 other time, and that is that he speaks about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. So the man who preaches is a preacher. But what is preaching? If you want to know what a preacher is, you have to know what the word preach means. Because saying, like Webster's dictionary, he says, Webster dictionary says, a preacher is a person who preaches. Well, what does that tell me? It doesn't tell me very much.
It tells you what he does.
It just, huh?
It, really, that definition only tells you what he does. It doesn't tell you what it is.
He goes on, i.e., a clergyman is a preacher. Now, that is a, how I want to say, not the way I would define a preacher. A preacher is more than a clergyman. A clergyman is and can be a preacher. So I've defined the word preacher. What do I mean by a preacher? And this is how I defined it. A preacher is one that has become a disciple of Jesus Christ, who has been called, chosen, gifted, and endowed by the Holy Spirit to be a herald or a proclaimer of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That is what I call a preacher. Now, I want to speak about it in the general sense as well in a specific sense. And what I mean by that is, specifically, we can say a clergyman or a minister or a pastor is a preacher. But Peter never calls himself a preacher. But according to Mr. Donnelly, Peter was one of the greatest preachers there ever was. He was the master preacher, as he calls him. And if you read that chapter, you can see why he says what he says. But I believe that you can use it in a general sense. All Christians are preachers. Wow, that is a broad sense. And I mean it in the broadest sense. All Christians are preachers. All that are making up of the body of Christ, the church, are preachers. Now, do they get in the pulpit and preach? The answer is no. But they do have a personal word to say to the lost about Jesus Christ and about the Word of God. It may be a one-on-one basis, as we call it, testimony or witnessing or whatever term you want to use. I gave my testimony to my neighbor, or I gave witness to Christ to my neighbor. And we find that when in the book of Acts, Philip was called upon by the Holy Spirit and taken from one spot and by the miraculous work of the Spirit and took him to a place in the desert where he met one man. You remember who that man was?
The Ethiopian eunuch.
The Ethiopian eunuch. And so he preaches, and it says there, and he got up into the chair and he says, do you understand what you read? And he says, no, I need somebody to lead me and to tell me what it means. And so it says, and he preached unto him Christ. He preached unto him Christ. And the word preach means to be a herald or a proclaimer in the general Greek term. If you look, there's five different forms in the verb in the Greek, and it all refers to either proclaiming or heralding. So it is one who speaks and heralds forth the gospel of Christ. And I say it can be done on an individual level. It does not have to be in a church setting. If you read the 1689, it says this. under the church. In paragraph 11, it says, although the incumbent on the bishops or pastors of churches to be instant in the preaching the word by way of office, yet the work of preaching of the word is not so peculiarly confined to them, but that others also gifted and lifted by the Spirit and approved can be, and called by the church may and ought to preach. So we see here that a preacher is one that is not called to an office. We think, well, a preacher is one who's been called to the all into an office. You'll find that the word preacher does not mean office. It's not an office bearer in the church. If you think that way, you have a misconception of what it means to be a preacher. Now, those who stand in the pulpits can be a preacher. And they should preach. And they should teach. And I think that part of our problem in America, why the gospel has not gotten out, is the congregation has basically said it is the preacher's responsibility. It is his job. It isn't my job. God hasn't ordained me to the office of preacher, but there is no office in scriptures that says one is called to it. The only time it is said that way is under the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul does say it, but Peter or any of the other preachers of the Word of God in the New Testament do not say that. It's not an office-bearing office in the church. It is the responsibility of all of God's people to preach the gospel. On what basis do I say that?
You could, Matthew 28?
Matthew 28? Which is called
Great Commission.
The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, tells us that we are commissioned, and some would say, well, that's wrong interpretation of the passage. It's speaking to the 11 apostles where Jesus called the 11 up onto a mountain in Galilee where he tells them to go into all the nation and teach and make disciples. Well, I say that is a misinterpretation of the passage. If we said it was just stated to the apostles, then everything else in Scripture would be only to the apostles. We couldn't say, blessed are the meek, for it was given to the apostles. Or when it comes to church discipline, it was to the apostles. So we would take the scriptures and so truncate it and make it so small and confined that it would apply only to the apostles. But they are told that they are to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. So the apostles taught people, you need to be saving and preaching the lost. Preaching to the lost out there is a church responsibility. John, you have a question?
Well, you see in an Acts where when the church was dispersed under the persecution, that's the very thing they did, they weren't preaching.
And that's one of my texts that I was going to use. you're on the stick. Acts 8, where after Stephen is stoned and Saul was consenting to his death and a great persecution arose upon the church. And it says, and all that were in Jerusalem were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. It's Acts 8, 1 through 4. And it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for he, Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Then the next verse, verse 4, it says this, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution of the church made the gospel go forth. They stayed in Jerusalem, and it was necessary for God to allow persecution to come upon the church in order for the church to go out and preach the word. We also see it in Acts 11, in verses 19 through 21, and it says there, Acts 11, 19 through 21, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. It wasn't just the apostles that preached. And it isn't not just the minister or the clergyman in any church that is to preach. It is all of God's people. The church is to preach the gospel. As the church was scattered under the persecution, they preached the word, and many were saved. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed. It does not take a clergyman to make a lost sinner come to the knowledge of the truth and to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. In 1 Peter, we read these words as well. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. So it is not just the responsibility of pastors or bishops or elders. And I say, this is the problem with the church. Why aren't we growing as a church? Well, the pastor's got to get involved. Well, we'll just bring him to church and then the pastor can preach to him. Haven't you heard that thought? Haven't you heard people speak like that? No, God has called the church to preach, each according to the gift that God has given them. How many of you think you could give the simple gospel of Jesus Christ to a sinner. Everyone who is Christ's disciple should be able to say, Jesus Christ is the only answer to your sin problem. By his death, his substitutionary death for sin, and he was sent into the world by the Father to show forth the love of the Father, and Christ came into the world to save sinners. What's hard about it? It's not the hardness of presenting the gospel is the problem. What's hard is facing the faces of men. That's what it is. Men are afraid of men, especially in our politically correct world today. You can't say that because you might offend somebody. We don't speak about things that we know are not according to God's standard. Abortion. How many people speak about abortion? Others who believe in abortion. I don't want to get in an argument with my neighbor over an issue that I'm not going to have a friend. I'm going to lose my friend. So we see, and I believe, all that are God, all who are disciples of Jesus Christ, I believe it is the responsibility of the church to preach and to teach that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, if you want to argue about should you baptize somebody? Should you train somebody? Should you do this or that? Then maybe not. But you should be able to at least state the gospel so they can be saved. That's my first point. A preacher is one that heralds the gospel to the lost. That's what a preacher is. Now, I want to talk about the centrality of preaching. What do I mean by centrality?
Central.
It's the central thing that is needed in the church. Do you believe that? When we are in church, we spend more time hearing preaching than we do singing, praying. Is it not? Or the reading of the word? It's preaching. Preaching is central to the church. If you look to the Great Commission, what is the Great Commission? It is the central theme of the church. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. Or we could go to Matthew in chapter 28. He tells us to go and teach the nations, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what is the key word there? Preach. God had given to the church this word, preach, as the centrality of what it does. If it fails to do that, you start getting puppet shows. Plays. Come to our church and you'll see a skit or a play of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll learn of the gospel. And then you can have cartoons, movies, and so on. These are not what God uses to save a soul. It is preaching. Preaching is central to a wholesome biblical church. If it does not preach, it fails to do what God has told it to do. But we also need to see, when John the Baptist came, what was his ministry? What did he do? He wanted them to repent. But how did he do it? Preached. Proclaiming. Heralding. Broadcasting it. Publishing it. That's what preaching means, or preach means. He preached repentance. And when our Lord, when he was doing his ministry, what did he use? Television clicks? No. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. When you get to Peter in the book of Acts, what did Peter do? He stood up and preached. What did Stephen do when he was stoned to death? He was preaching, and they were pricked in the heart. It's by the preached word that God works. It's not by puppet shows, and it's not by plays. Preaching is central in the work of the church. Every Lord's Day, three times on a Lord's Day, we hear preaching in our Sunday school, in the AM worship, in our PM worship. And any church that does not preach has come to the end of itself in the sense of being a true church. A biblical church is a preaching church. C.H. Spurgeon said this: you cannot preach conviction of sin unless you have suffered it. You cannot preach repentance unless you have practiced it. You cannot preach faith unless you have exercised it. True preaching is artisan. It wells up from the great depths of the soul. If Christ has not made a well within us, there will be no outflow from us. Do you know what he's saying? If those elements of what true preaching is, conviction of sin, repentance, faith, if we don't have those in us, then we can't preach. A man who can't preach is a man that doesn't have these things. Peter preached. and he was also a great sinner. But God called him to do a great work. And four main events in the life of Peter when he preached. God did a great work in the book of Acts. And Mr. Edward Donnelly speaks about it. He talks about Pentecost. He talks about the preaching in Solomon's porch where they healed the blind man. Talks about how he preached to the Sanhedrin. He talks about how he preached when Cornelius was converted. And if you look at the life of Philip, who was one of those ones that was scattered, and they point blank come out and states that Philip preached as he was scattered. He went down to Samaria and preached. And many were added to the Lord through this preaching. But we must experience it before we can do it. If a Christian cannot give the simple basics of the gospel, there is something wrong. And what's wrong is they probably have not experienced true conversion themselves. So preaching is central in a godly biblical church. Now I want to speak about what Mr. Donnelly says is wrong with today's preaching. Why sinners are not being saved. And he talked about five missing elements. And these elements are essential for a man to have if he is going to be a great preacher. He says we have churches that have preachers, but they're at best very, very insignificant. We are having very, very little success in reaching the lost. America is one of those nations where we can see a great decline. There's many who are saying they're Christians, but probably a good portion of them have no idea what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might be saved from sin. And it's because preaching does not have these elements which he says a good preacher needs. The first one that he says is that they need to have relevance. What does it mean? Good preaching has to have relevance. And a good example of that was Kyle this morning. He came out and said, "Why do we all need to know about Proverbs 28:13? He who covers his sins shall not prosper." And he says, "But he who confesses and forsakes them, he will be forgiven." And he talked about two points: the warning and the promise. And he said that this is the relevant reason. The relevant reason is that we are all sinners. We all sin, and we all try to do some way of either we confess it or we try to cover it. And then he showed what it meant to cover sin. And he gave biblical examples of it. And then he spoke about confessing. and having the mercy of God. So relevance, having relevant, a relevant message is important. Now, I would not call it the most important, but I do think it's very important that you can connect with the people and show them their sin. Because that's the starting point. But then Mr. Donnelly says that good biblical preaching is full of Christ. It is Christ-centered. Christ has to be preached in his fullness, spoken of as being the Messiah, the Son of God, as the Savior, and as Lord and Master. And that it is only in Christ that God has dealt with the sin problem. And then he said, what's missing is, in biblical, true biblical preaching, is boldness. And this is where I really have an issue. Very few pastors can speak with boldness. Very few speak with boldness. They talk in a monotone, plain, average, conversational voice. They have no passion. They have no life. Boldness.
Wouldn't you say that the reason for that is they don't really, there's no conviction, there's some unbelief in what they preach?
Second, then that they pull reverse too.
What does it say?
That was their first point. Second, then that they never pull reverse too. Talks about preach the word.
Well, that is true. And I would agree with that statement that we are to preach the word. And I would say, Kyle preached the word. But I don't feel Kyle was bold in preaching that word. That's not an indictment of Kyle. I thought he did an excellent job. But I do not feel that he had the passion, the burning of the Spirit within to be more authoritative in the proclamation. If it's missing in a man, then the Spirit is absent as well. Not in, absent in the sense of completely not there, but absent in the sense of the fullness of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, for that's how Peter preached. Why did Peter have such success? Because God was with him. The Holy Spirit was with him. Spurgeon said this, it will be our dull sermons that will haunt us on our dying beds. Our tearless preaching, our long studyings when we might have preached better had we come away and preached without them. Our huntings after popularity instead of saying to the people, you are dying. Escape for your life and fly to Christ. Preaching to them red hot, simple words, the wrath to come and the love of God. In Acts 4:23, to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, and 29 through 31, I want to read this. And it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions," that is, Peter and John. "And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And so when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, Lord, look on their threatenings and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Boldness in preaching only comes when one has the influence of the Spirit of God so poured upon him that he, the object, the person, the man that is preaching, doesn't even realize that it's not him that's preaching. I have known it. There have been times that I have preached that I know it wasn't me that was doing the preaching. That God was actually filling my mouth with the words that needed to be said. And you know me. I'm an average old Joe. Calm, quiet, cool, and collected. But true biblical preaching takes the work of the Holy Spirit and the boldness that he gives in order for the work of the Lord is done. When men are quiet and passive, they have not preached. They have only spoken dull words which have not motivated or move men to reach out to Jesus Christ. That's what I think we need to get from Mr. Donnelly. The church here will not grow until we are so dependent on the Holy Spirit and that the Word of God is proclaimed boldly. That's what's missing in most churches. Because the people are not praying that the minister and those who preach have the fullness or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that preachers need, clergymen need, pastors need, elders need, it is that they will be bold and the preaching of the word. This is all that I want to say to you today. Even in our personal testimony, in our personal witness, we need to be bold. And how do we get it? It's by the work of the Holy Spirit working on us and opening our mouth to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what preaching is. And it's missing. And I believe there's several reasons for it. One, the fear of men's faces. I'm afraid to speak clearly about Jesus Christ. I won't have any friends left. Well, you might lose a friend, a true friend. Jesus Christ calls us friends. Are we his friend? Or are they more important to us? And the second reason, I believe, is why there is not praying that there's great boldness, is pastors are afraid they might scare people away. They might lose half their flock. Because instead of having a full church of sheep, half of them might be what? Not lambs, but
goats.
If I preach too hard, too seriously, too boldly, I'm afraid I might not have a church very long. It's better to have 12 faithful friends, like our Lord Jesus did, and one of them was a goat. It would be better to have 11 faithful friends like our Lord did than to have 11,000 church membership and not one of them be the Lord's. This is what I want to say. That's all I'm going to say.